You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
What I want to say relates to the whole question of the use of water for the generation of electricity. And I think all of us would agree that water is one of our most, perhaps our most valuable resource and something that we should cherish and protect and that whose value has become more and more apparent in recent years as water shortages in other jurisdictions have become apparent. Also, water is a very important part of our cultural heritage here in British Columbia, for First Nations particularly. And it has provided enormous economic benefits to us over the years. It also is renewable and will be here for generations to come, at least the kind of water that I'm going to be talking about. So my view, to lay things out fairly straightforwardly, is I don't think water for power should be privatized, nor do I think other parts of our water system should be privatized. And I hope that by the end of what I've said, you'll hopefully agree with me. I'm going to look at one aspect of water privatization, and that is the use of water to generate electricity. And this is being done across the province now through what are called independent power producers, or what I would call private power producers. I'm going to try and talk a little bit about what I see as the huge financial costs that we're now facing as a result of the privatization of our run-of-the-river water projects and the government's general privatization in the electricity sector. And the costs are both financial in terms of what we as ratepayers are going to be facing in the coming years, but there are also costs that are being borne by local communities who are affected by these projects. There are environmental costs, which are quite significant in many areas of the province. There are other issues around matters such as energy security, which are also significantly at risk as a result of the government's privatization agenda in this area. As I mentioned, the private power projects are generally called run-of-the-river projects, and we hear them described as green energy projects, which has a very nice ring, and indeed many of the sites and many of the potential projects looked at on their own make a lot of sense in terms of the way in which we can generate electricity without many of the other adverse effects that you have with nuclear energy or with coal and so on. But the question is, how are they going to be owned and managed? Who is going to get the benefit from these projects? To what extent are benefits going to flow back to British Columbians or to people in local communities? It seems to me that as they're now being built, that is built by private investors who are intent basically on maximizing the return that they're getting, or the revenue stream, to coin a phrase, from the run-of-the-river projects, and who, in the long term, are, many of whom are thinking about exports as well, that this approach is going to have major negative effects on the province down the road. Before I sort of go into the economic argument in more detail, I just want to talk a little bit about how this privatization is taking place, because I think this is an issue that people don't understand a lot about. It begins with the sale of water licenses. Now, there's lots of different types of water license in this province. There's water licenses for agricultural purposes. There's water licenses for industrial purposes. Of course, there's municipal water licenses, which the other speakers have been referring to. But there's a specific category of water licenses, which are water licenses for power production. And these are the ones that are relevant to what I want to say. This type of license gives the holder the ability to use the water resource in a stream or a river to generate electrical energy and effectively to generate money, because that's really what this is all about in terms of private investment in small electric power projects. To give you the sense of the magnitude of what we're facing in the future in terms of energy demand, and there's lots of controversy about where we're going, and there's the whole question of the global warming and what that may do in terms of projections of energy demand. But when I was on the BC Hydro Planning Committee last year, we were looking at projections over the next 20 years of demand. And the assumption was that we would see demand increasing by about 2% a year, or about 25,000 gigawatt hours of energy. Currently, we use about 70,000 gigawatt hours of energy. So that gives you a sense of the magnitude of the future demand for energy in this province. Whether this will all happen, there's lots of variables we don't know, but that's potentially where we may end up. Some of this demand we can do through conservation, which would be very good, but some of it will have to come in the form of new energy as well. So the question is, what kind of new energy and who will own it? Small hydro projects are very attractive because the kind of energy that they generate is seen as sustainable, renewable. Once the projects are built, there's very little in the way of additional pollution or damage. Having said that, how they're done can be a major source of damage environmentally and to communities, so the issue is how to do it properly. Now, given that water for power is going to be such an important resource in the future, and given that it is public, you'd think that the government would be extremely careful about how it handed out water licenses, and arguably the question whether they should be giving out water licenses at all for the generation of power is something that I would raise. But my perception of the policy framework right now is that it's not that way at all. Water licenses have been given out virtually as a free good to anybody who can sort of be first at the license office and get your claim in on a particular site on a nice river valley. And so a lot of people have talked about this in terms of the gold rush, to acquire the right to build power projects on the best streams all over the province. And to qualify for a water license here, the conditions are basically you have to be either a BC resident or you have to be a BC registered company. But what does the latter mean, a BC registered company? Well, you pay your roughly $350 if you're a foreign investor, you register as a BC company, and you can get yourself a water license. So there's effectively no control on foreign ownership of water licenses in the province under this system, and this, I think, is a really serious issue down the road. Now, the number of good sites in BC is very limited, and this has to do with geography, it has to do with how they're located in relation to the main demand centers in the province, it has to do with the cost of building power lines, there's a whole range of factors. But all of the good sites pretty well in BC were mapped out many years ago. In 1983, there was a very detailed Minister of the Environment study which mapped out hundreds and hundreds of sites around the province, gave a sense of how much energy could be generated from them, and roughly how much it would cost to build power projects on those different sites. At the time, because of the big dam construction that BC Hydro was involved in, we didn't need any of those sites. We didn't need that energy. More recently, in 2000 and 2002, BC Hydro had several major studies commissioned by Sigma Energy, and those studies were extremely detailed. They went to the point of showing how much it would cost per megawatt hour to generate electricity, what the capital cost of a site would be, et cetera, et cetera. Now, all this information has been basically freely shared to energy investors who would like to acquire a water license and build a power plant. Now, there's two. I want to talk just a little bit about the pricing system. There's two categories of water power licenses in BC. Small projects, which generate roughly as much as $10 million a year in revenue, and the price for a water license for that size of project is $5,000. And for any larger project, it's only $10,000. So that's what we charge to get the license to build these projects. And the renewal fee is $200. A water license is for 40 years, but it's renewable, and we're also selling the Crown land on which these facilities are being built. And we're selling it as Crown land in remote locations. Its value is very small. And I might add that when the projects are built, BC Hydro, in terms of its energy purchase arrangements, is actually paying the cost of the incremental property tax on the capital cost of the facility that's built. So there's lots of things that have been done to actually sweeten this whole arrangement. Now, in terms of our revenue from the water, again, there's two ways we get a bit of revenue. One is that we have what's called a water rental fee. And to encourage private development, the government has established a water rental fee of $1 a megawatt hour, or just over. It's $1.046. Anyway, very small amount above a dollar for the use of our water. Large projects like Alcan, for example, pay $5, and BC Hydro pays $5 a megawatt hour. To put this in some sort of context, the price of energy, and I don't want to get too technical here, but the price of energy that we're looking at right now, from the tender call that BC Hydro has just provided some details about and just announced the results of, is someplace between $77 and $87.5 a megawatt. So we charge $1 for the use of the water, but when BC Hydro buys back the power from these projects, it pays anywhere between $77 and $87.5. So the public gets maybe 1.5% of the revenue stream. The other charge that we lay is what's called a capacity charge. It has to do with the actual potential output of the project, and that works out to roughly another 1.5%. So the public gets maybe, adding all the charges and fees up, 3 to 4% of the value of the resource for allowing private power developers to build these projects, which I would argue is a very, very small return to the public. Indeed, one could say that we're, in a sense, being taken to the cleaners here. Now, BC Hydro, I'm going to jump around a little bit here. BC Hydro has just announced this energy call, as it's a procurement process, and they've given out contracts for roughly three times more energy than I was led to believe we were going to buy when I was on the committee that was reviewing future needs of BC Hydro and the province for energy. It's 7,100 gigawatt hours of energy. That's roughly equivalent to about 10% of the energy we use in the province. I took the tables that they submitted to the Utilities Commission and just did basic Excel calculation as to what this means for these contracts that they put out. Most contracts are 40 years, some of the contracts don't expire until 2051. When you add up the numbers, not inflation adjusting it, but just on the numbers that BC Hydro plans to pay, just one tender call is going to be $15.6 billion that we're going to pay for this energy over this period of time that we're going to give to these private energy developers. Now, that number also covers some other types of energy that we're buying, some from coal, some from other sources, wind and so on. 40% of it, though, 40% of that is coming from run-of-the-river projects. It's a huge amount of money, and it's not the only tender call that we're going to see. So this is the kind of like the financial implications of this. Okay, I'm getting my five-minute warning here. One other figure that you may find relevant here. Okay, we're buying this energy, most of it at $87.50 a megawatt hour. About 3 years ago, BC Hydro, in a submission to the Utilities Commission, provided data on what it's costing us historically to generate energy at the major dams that we have across the province, where we get about 80% of our energy based on hydro. Those dams were built in the 60s and 70s, and the last one was completed in 84. The amount of the cost that we're paying per megawatt for that energy, which is why our rates are so low here in BC, was $5. $5. That's why your rate is 6.5 cents or 6.3 cents per kilowatt hour, because it's so cheap, and it's because of public investment in the past. Now, we're going to spend all this money to buy this energy. And the way this works is it's very interesting. A proponent gets a water license from the government. They sit on it. They make a bid into BC Hydro. BC Hydro then rates the bids, and they took a lot of bids this time. And once you've got a commitment from BC Hydro that they're going to buy this energy over 25, 30, or 40 years at a fixed rate, and you know what that revenue stream will be, you go to the bank and you borrow the money. So you and I as taxpayers are essentially guaranteeing the loans that enable these people to build the plants. But when it's all over, when the contracts are finished, we don't own anything. We have nothing. And we have no price protection down the road, because when these contracts expire, the government has changed the policy in terms of exports so that the proponents will be able to export the energy, or if we want to keep it here, we'll have to pay prices comparable to what they are in the Pacific Northwest or even as far south as California. So there's no price protection down the road, unlike when we built the projects ourselves through BC Hydro. And finally, in terms of energy security, much of this is being portrayed as, well, we have to source all this energy within BC because we want to have energy security. If that's the case, why would you then open the grid to facilitate energy exports by private energy owners? But that's indeed what is going on. So now we have no energy security for this, despite all the money that you and I as ratepayers are going to be paying. There's issues, other issues around NAFTA protection that we have to think about, foreign ownership of our water licenses and the power plants that are being built. And then finally, I just want to wrap up. I see I'm almost over my time here, but part of the problem that's going on around the province is that small communities are, in the regions are being pressured by energy developers to get a project up and running as quickly as possible. Because every month's delay, if you think about a project that might generate $12 million a year, every month is $1 million the company's not getting. So they want the whole process, you know, get through it as fast as possible so that there's no delays. And the government has accommodated them significantly in terms of truncating or reducing the environmental assessment process so that it's quicker to get approvals. It's passed Bill 30 to limit the ability of municipal governments who are reflecting community interests to stop or slow down these projects. And think about this from the viewpoint of a municipal government or local government or community. A project that might be generating, say, 30 or 40 million a year would only provide maybe 3 or 4 full-time permanent jobs in the community, because these projects are very capital intensive. And once the construction boom is over, there are very few permanent jobs, but there may be enormous disruption to the community. And so the community is paying a price, but getting almost no benefit. Hence why many municipal governments have been very wary about permitting these projects to go forward. Think about the Ashloo, or think about what went on at Christina Lake and so on. And so the government has passed Bill 30 to allow the Utilities Commission to override municipal concerns and push through these projects as fast as possible. So all of this is to say that the privatization of our water licenses and our water for power projects, far from being in the public interest, is, I would argue, hugely detrimental to the public interest. And it's bizarre that we are paying as ratepayers and ultimately as taxpayers to support this privatization initiative through BC Hydro, through this energy purchase agreement arrangement, and that at the end of the day, we will be exposed to the risks of huge increases in our own electricity prices, no assets, and very little control over the system down the road.